You in Jesus' name this morning, and also want to greet you with a verse that we had in our Sunday school quarterly this morning. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I like how it talks about grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Also appreciated the theme in our songs this morning, Rescue the Perishing, and says, go labor on, spend and be spent. If we're not willing to spend and be spent, we're not going to rescue the perishing. And I don't know if this is the right place to say this or not, but I think we are starting to slip a little bit in our cottage meetings on the second Wednesday of each month. I think we could, yeah, it's so easy to skip out on that. Our nursing homes, I think, are scheduled. We just automatically go to those. But the other cottage meeting groups, it takes effort to make connections with people and to actually make that happen. I just would encourage all of us to not get weary in doing that. And also, thank you for your prayers for this coming week. I had to think of that also as I sang that song, Go Labor On, Spend and Be Spent. I have a lot of things that I need to accomplish in Bangladesh for the next 10 days. And yeah, some big things that I have to face when I'm there and the travel and everything. And just pray that God can have his way and that some of the meetings I need to things that I need to address, that the Holy Spirit can work in those lives. The Holy Spirit has been faithful in the past. I have confidence that he will be faithful again. This morning I chose to speak on a subject. And the title of my message I take from a song in our church hymnal is Peace, Perfect Peace. Peace, Perfect Peace. And for a text, there's a few verses in Isaiah that I would like to look at that talk about this peace. Turn with me in Isaiah chapter 26. For a text verse, I'd like to look at verse 3, but I'd like to read the first 9 verses at this time in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Notice verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread on it, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me, will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. I like to also, the phrase there in verse 9, I'd like to highlight that, with my spirit within me. And that's where I think that spirit that is within me is what is looking for that peace. Again, the text verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Perfect peace. Do you have perfect peace this morning? I think that in the context here, it means a complete peace. Is all well in your life? If today was your last day and you were called home, is your house in order? Is your house in order? What would those left behind find in your personal things? Think about that for a little bit. I'll admit that I often think about that, especially when I get ready to leave for Bangladesh. I look over my desk and I think about all the different things that I take care of. If I never see my desk again, who's going to sort through it, figure out what bills need paid, what needs to happen next? I know of someone who passed away, someone I knew very, very well. And after he passed away, his son and son-in-laws discovered that he had a lockbox somewhere at a bank, and they had no idea what was in it. And they had the job of going and opening that box. And I'm not going to tell you what was in that box, but my point is that after we're gone, someone will have the job to go through our things. This was really brought home to me 2 weeks ago today. A friend of mine that I grew up with, we spent time together. We were friends. He's 46 years old. He's a father of 9 or 10 children and the bishop of a church. At church 2 weeks ago, he had an asthma attack and he died right there at church. I have no reason to believe that he was not at peace with life. But I am sure he did not have time to change anything in his life. His desk was just the way he left it. His workbench was just the way he had left his tools. Whatever debt load he had was still there. And wherever his relationships were, that is exactly where they were left. This morning, I would like this message to challenge all of us to really think about perfect peace. How we obtain perfect peace and how we maintain it. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about peace. Peace is a word that can be used in many, many different ways. I'm sure we have all seen people that we could tell that they were at peace. You know, when you look at someone's face, their expression, the look in their eyes, you can often tell if they're at peace. And you can also tell if they're not at peace. Most of us parents, I think we've looked into the eyes of a child and know that they were not at peace. They were guilty about something. They were uncomfortable. Maybe it was a teenager that was under conviction from God. Or maybe we meet someone, even an older person, who is resisting the path that God chose for them. They're not at peace. Or maybe it's someone who is terrified at a dangerous situation or what they think is a dangerous situation. A number of years ago, I got on a plane to come home from a trip. I was in Istanbul. Got on a plane. I was in the very last seat. And my person beside me was a young man. He was in the window seat and I was in the aisle seat. And as we started taxiing out to the runway, I noticed he got very agitated. He was just really, really frightened. But as we got closer to take off, he was clutching the armrest with both hands. And he had his eyes closed. And I said, "Hey, what's going on? What's wrong?" He said, "I'm just terrified." I said, "Why? What's wrong?" I said, "We're going to be fine. We have a pilot that knows what he's doing. Everything's going to be fine." He said, "How do you know that?" "Well, I've flown a number of times. I wasn't frightened." Well, he said, "This is my second flight that I've ever taken in my life. And the one from Russia coming to Istanbul, it didn't go well. They were very, very, there were some really terrible things that had happened. He wasn't sure they were going to make it." So that was his only frame of reference. He was terrified and I was completely at peace because I had confidence that everything was going to be well. And he didn't. He was not at peace. So there's many different definitions of peace. And often it is what we are focused on, what we have confidence in, will determine whether we have peace or we don't have peace. A number of definitions for peace says peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance. The town was known for its peace and order. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, to be in perfect peace and contentment. Harmony and personal relationship. The family live together peaceably. Peace and world powers. You know, there was peace for 50 years before war broke out again. So many different ways that we use the word peace. Peace can be when we end hostilities, we make peace with someone. Or it can be used as an interjection or a greeting or a farewell. Jesus would say, peace be in this house. But when they were on the water and the storm was there, he said, peace, be still. Or it can be a state of concord or tranquility. The problem was solved and his mind was at peace. Tremendous amount of different illustrations or definitions of peace. So I don't know what definition you can connect with this morning. But I'm convinced that every one of us desires to be at peace. We desire to live in a country that is at peace. We desire to have peaceful church and family life. We want to feel safe walking down the sidewalks here in town. We might even wish for peace where there's no more strife or danger at all. But the truth is there's only been one place like that on earth that has ever had that kind of peaceful existence, and that was the Garden of Eden. And even there, it didn't last. You know, Satan found a way to disrupt that peace and bring guilt. And we can look forward to heaven where we will have eternal peace and rest. But the truth is we are not at heaven yet. So we will need to find a way to live in peace in our broken world. We will need to find that inner peace that can only be found in Jesus. And that's what I'd like to really, really focus on this morning, is that inner peace, that peace that's within us. Turn with me to Philippians 4. We'd like to look at another verse about peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This inner peace that we can have passes all understanding. To me, that's just, it says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you experienced this peace that passes all understanding? The truth is that every human being is searching for that peace. But few find it because they do not look for it in the right place or are not willing to do what it takes to receive this peace. You know, like I said, everybody in the world is looking for this kind of peace. And the world has a definition for this peace and how to attain it. If you ask someone or just simply looked up what is peace from a worldly perspective, they would tell you that it is an inner peace, is a state of calm within yourself. It is an achievable state of mind that has everything to do with what is on the inside instead of what is happening around you. And you might say, we all agree with that. If we're truly at peace, it is all about what's going on inside and not what's going on the outside. That's true. And it's achievable. It's possible to be at peace. But listen to what the world recommends to do in order to get peace. Let's look at that first. Found a list of ways that the world would tell you to find this inner peace. They tell you to meditate, to take a break from social media, to practice breathing, to calm down, take deep breaths, and to be kind to the world around you and to yourself. Take a walk in nature. Laugh as much as you can. Express yourself and practice everyday mindfulness. That's what they say you should do to get this peace, this peace in your life. But what's wrong with this list? What's wrong with it is that they completely leave God out of the formula. Not once was God mentioned in here. You know, the very author of peace is missing. Jesus tells us in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The very author of peace is Jesus, and he says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it." There's a difference, tremendous difference. So we can understand from this verse that Jesus offers us a different kind of peace than what the world considers to be peace. The world considers peace to be somehow disconnect, get away from everything, practice yoga, meditate, all those things. Focus on yourself and not on others. You'll find peace. But that's not true. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." I have a number of verses here that I would like to use to help us understand what this true, lasting inner peace is and how it can only be found in Christ. The first one is in Romans 5, 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And I just have three very, very simple points this morning on finding this peace. Romans 5, chapter 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So point number one is just peace with God, with the emphasis on with God. We have peace with God. It says in this verse, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What does it mean to have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? Is that your experience? When you go into the council room at council meeting and you say you have peace with God, we say those words. We say we have peace with God and our fellow man. What does that actually mean to you? What does peace with God look like? Are you at rest with your relationship with God? Would God agree with you that you have peace with Him? Can you look God in the eye and not squirm? I have memories of not wanting to look at my dad in the eye and squirming, because I knew that all was not well. Can you look God in the eye and not squirm, knowing that you're at peace with Him? Is God your Father? Can He be trusted? Do you know God in a personal way? Or is He this distant being out there? You know, we use the term that we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. What does that mean to us? Personal Savior. Do we get personal with God? Do you tell God your hopes and dreams? And when you're not at peace, do you search God? Is that the first thing you do? Do you call upon God? Do you look for Him? Is that who you go to? I'm convinced that if we want to have peace with God, we will want to get to know Him. We will trust Him, and we will have faith in Him. This verse says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." What level of faith do we have? Do we trust that God knows what He's doing? What does it mean to be justified by faith? Well, my definition of justified is to be acquitted. No condemnation, not guilty. And that's what I mean when you can look at God. You can look in the eyes of God and not squirm. Because there's no condemnation. There's no guilt there. Why? Because we have believed and accepted who God is and who we are and how much we need Him. Romans 8:1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why don't we walk after the flesh? The reason we don't walk after the flesh, it will only bring guilt. So we must walk in faith so that we can be justified and as a result of that, have inner peace. Only as we walk in faith and as we get to know God in that personal way, can we have that true inner peace. Point number two is peace from God. Again, focus on from. Peace from God. We find that in Galatians 1, verse 3. Galatians 1, verse 3 talks about that. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." This point may be very similar to the one we just looked at. But I would like to take a closer look at what peace from God means to us and challenge all of us to experience it. You know, it's interesting to note that practically every one of Paul's letters started with a verse similar to this. He says, "Grace and peace from God the Father," over and over again. I didn't check every one of them, but I think almost every single one. And often he ends his epistles, "Grace and peace from God the Father." You know, that suggests to me that we might try to find peace somewhere else. But there is absolutely nowhere else that this peace can be found. It is only found in God. He is the only source of true peace. You know, Paul is a good example of that. Paul tried to find peace in being a devout Pharisee. He tried to find peace in destroying and persecuting the Christians. You know, I'm convinced that he was extremely determined to get rid of this false teaching. He thought that the Christians were false. And he was diligent in trying to stamp that out. He was trying to find his peace in the Jewish system. But it was not until Paul met God on the Damascus Road that he realized what his greatest need was. It was through that experience that he found grace and peace. And I don't know, but I wonder if that's why Paul over and over again used this phrase, "grace and peace from God the Father." Suddenly he truly found that resting peace. My question to you is this morning, have you had a Damascus Road experience? Have you found that grace and peace that Paul wrote over and over again about? If you have not found that grace and peace, it is because you're looking in the wrong places. As was mentioned already in my introduction, there's many different places that the world would have us attempt to bring rest and peace to us. But don't fall for those substitutes. They will never, ever last. There is no other peace but only through God. Zion's Praises has a song titled "Only in Thee" that makes this point so very clear. It says, "Only in Thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combined, never can take from me." You know, that's a tremendous blessing. No one can take that peace from you. "Pleasures of earth, so seemingly sweet, fail at the last my longings to meet. Only in Thee my bliss complete, only the Lord in Thee." Have you found that peace that can only come from God? You know, the truth is if I was practicing yoga or I was trying to meditate and think of good things, and you came in and interrupted me, you would have interrupted my peace, right? But the truth is that if we truly have that inner peace, we have that connection with God, we know God in that kind of way, others cannot interrupt our peace because we have this peace from God. Point number three is peace through God. That is found in Colossians 1, verse 20. Turn with me to Colossians 1, verse 20. Peace through God. It says, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ for the rudiments of this world. Sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. 1 verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, peace through God. It says, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now, Jesus is the mediator of reconciliation. It is through that we can receive pardon for our sins. What does it mean to reconcile? I think I'll give you some practical examples of reconciliation, to reconcile something. One of the things that we often think about is, at least I do, when my bank statement comes, I try to reconcile that with my check ledger. And if it doesn't come out right, you look until you find where the mistake is, and so you can reconcile it. When I used to teach school and you teach math, and there was these really long division problems, and I would tell them they need to check it at the end. You take your answer and you multiply it with your divisor, it should come out right. And they would raise their hand and they'd say, it doesn't come out right. What am I supposed to do? Well, it doesn't reconcile. You need to go back and figure out where your mistake was. It's possible to find because somewhere you made a miserror. It needs to be reconciled. Well, in life, it's extremely important that we are reconciled. How much effort are we putting into to be reconciled to God? I'm convinced that God desires us to be reconciled to us. And his word is always right. You know, I tell people that when you reconcile your checkbook with the bank statement, the bank is always right. But I have already actually caught the bank not being right. But as a general rule, you can expect that the bank statement is correct. And if there's an error, it's in your figures. But in true life, the Bible has no errors. And we need to be reconciled to God through his word. We need to be reconciled to God by the Holy Spirit. God has done his part, and we need to be reconciled to him. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The reason the Hebrew writer chose this illustration of the high priest and reconciliation, that his audience, the people of that day, understood the purpose of sacrifice and the high priest, and that he was reconciling for them. He was the bringing them to God. He was making that connection. He was making it whole. He was making reconciliation. That was the whole point of sacrifice, to reconcile them to God. This illustration made sense to them. There was a great breach between God and man, and that is why Christ came and made reconciliation possible. So the question for us this morning is this: have we been reconciled to Christ? Have we found that peace through him? Has this been your experience? Peace through God. I'd like to look at a few practical things yet. I think we all understand these verses. We've read them before. We understand that we need this inner peace. But in the practical part of the message, I would like to look at the following three questions. What does inner peace really look like in our lives? And what does a lack of peace look like? And lastly, what are we willing to do to get this true inner peace? So what does inner peace look like in our lives? Again, our text verse, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." Now, one of the things that true inner peace will look like in our lives is our mind will be stayed on God. And because of that, we will trust him. The very next verse in that chapter said, "Trust ye the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And because we trust him, we will have strength. And because of that strength, we will have peace. Peace is simply a result of doing that. It will radiate from our life. As I said before, when you meet someone that is at peace, it radiates from their life. It will affect our interests. It will affect our decisions. It will affect our moods. It will affect our tone of voice. It will affect where we go, what we enjoy to do, and who our friends are. If we have that true inner peace in our life, it will affect every aspect of our life. You know, sometimes when we get up in the morning and we're kind of grouchy, and we like to say that we just got out of the wrong side of the bed. But I would like to challenge us to really stop and think. Usually there's something that's robbing us of our peace. We're carrying some burden that God would like to carry for us. We did something that we shouldn't have done. We are not at peace. That's really what's the issue. And so I challenge us to think and ask God to help you let go of that burden. Fall on your knees and pray to him and find that peace so that you can go on. So what does a lack of peace look like? Pretty much the exact opposite of what we just looked at. You know, a lack of peace, instead of our mind being stayed on God, it will be on ourselves. We will be focused on ourselves. We'll be focused on what other people think of us. And because of that, we will trust ourselves and no one else. Ever notice that? A person that's not at peace doesn't trust others. He trusts in himself. And he will do what he wants to do, what we want to do. We will look out for ourselves in our decisions. And because of our mind not being stayed on God, we will fail to have strength to overcome the temptations that we face. And because of that, we will not have peace. We will be miserable and irritable. We will be quick to get angry. And we will make poor choices in life. Without peace, our lives will lack direction and purpose. We could talk a long time about that. Without peace, our lives will lack direction and purpose. So the last question is, what are we willing to do to get this true inner peace and to keep it? Brothers and sisters, this morning I'm convinced that this is an extremely important question that everyone will need to answer. This question needs to be answered if you want to grow spiritually, like Brother John shared with us Sunday. If you have a desire to grow spiritually, this question has to be answered. You know, I've worked with a number of people over in my lifetime who seemingly would just could not grow spiritually. They would make attempts. They would make commitments. They would break commitments. They would be in tears about how their life is going. But they just could not grow spiritually. And I'm firmly convinced that they never truly experienced that inner peace. Why not? Why didn't they have that inner peace? Because they didn't answer this question right. I'm convinced that that is the root issue why they never truly experienced inner peace. I'm convinced if we do not have this inner peace, we cannot grow and mature spiritually. So what is the right answer to the question? Because we need to find peace at all costs. I think we'd all agree with it. We need to find this inner peace at all costs. What will it cost us? Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. Total surrender. That is why I could give you an example after example of people who have refused to make a total surrender. That is the answer to the question. Total, complete surrender. But you know, this is not a popular message today. Many people want to have peace without surrender. This will never, ever work. If it were possible to have peace without surrender, then God would not be God. Think about that for a little bit. If peace could be found without surrender, the true living inner peace, then God would not be God. His word would not be true. Jesus said in Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, what part of that verse don't we understand? We need to completely surrender. In conclusion, I want to end in a very positive note. True inner peace is attainable. It is attainable. And if you experience it, it will change your life. And there's no way to explain that until you experienced it. It will change your life. True inner peace is attainable. And if you experience it, it will change your life. Peace is not a life that is problem-free or free from conflict. Rather, true peace gives you the ability to smile and have a Christ-like attitude in the midst of turmoil. In the midst of some hard things that you have to face, true peace gives you the ability to smile and have the right attitude. True peace is what you experience when you go on, when you want to just give up. You say, what is the use? I just want to give up in defeat. But that true inner peace is what you experience when you go on anyway. You do the right thing. True peace is knowing that all is well, that your life is in order, and that if I died at this moment, all is well. True peace is found when you're surrendered and living in the center of God's will. You're surrendered. God, whatever you want, I accept. And if we can do that, we can truly experience what Philippians said. I already quoted this verse. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what you're going to experience. Paul goes on in verse 9 of that same chapter. And he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The things that Paul, what we observed in his life, the things that he taught, if we do that, he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. True inner peace is available and attainable to all who surrender to God. True inner peace is a gift from God that the world is never going to experience. Only those who experience God will experience that true inner peace. close with a verse in Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we pause at the close of this service. We thank you that you're a God who loves us and that you've made every provision for each of us, that if we want to completely surrender our lives, that we can know you, we can experience you, and we can have that true inner peace that passes all understanding. You know, the world cannot experience it because they do not know you. And Father, we just pray that we can know you in a real way, that each of us can fall on our face before you and truly have a Damascus Road experience where we meet you and we surrender to you and we continue to serve you and to follow you and experience that peace. And from that peace, that we can radiate your love and peace to others so that they too can know the truth and the truth can make them free. Fathers, pray as we face the challenges of life and all the turmoil and the conflict that can come in life, that we can just rest knowing that you are in control and that if we surrender our will to yours, that we will be at peace and we can have that peace. Father, we just pray that if anyone is here this morning that is not living in peace and has not experienced that true cleansing peace, that they would surrender their life to you and experience this in a way that can change their life. Just go with us, keep us in your care, and bless everyone that's here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.